down, Mr. President.
Are you having a quiet Sunday?
Yes, sir. Just sitting out in the sun and swimming in the pool.
Yeah. You have a pool in your backyard, huh?
Yes, sir.
That's good.
It's a lifesaver.
Where do you live?
It's in McLean, Mr. President.
How long does it take to get out there?
About 15 minutes.
At all?
Yes, sir.
They must both the freeway. That's right.
There's and it's just over the bridge, but it's close to the district, but it's...
Yeah, it must be a good choice.
Well, it's lovely.
So much better than living in that miserable Georgetown.
Oh, I hate that.
With all those rats and...
I don't even like to drive through Georgetown.
Oh, God, you know, I think the Secret Service is afraid to go through there.
Well, I don't blame them. It's a crummy place. Reminds me of Harvard Square in Massachusetts, which I also dislike.
Yeah. Well, how's the stuff play today?
I think very good, Mr. President. I was pleased that neither the Star nor the Post played the McGovern charge on the Watergate as page one. The Times did. I understand that around the country it was not a page one story. And it
was almost a predictable thing, I guess.
What he said?
Yeah.
Was exactly what
but,
I mean.
Whitewash and so forth. But I think somebody ought to slap said, now, look, either put up or shut up.
Well, one of the reporters, it was an interesting thing. One of the reporters said to him, what evidence do you have of that? And he finally backed down and said, well, I have no evidence, but it's obvious they haven't answered all the questions, so I'm going to keep pounding them through this campaign until they do. I talked to Clawson and Dick Moore and others about it today. We got the Justice Department to put a response out immediately.
That was good. Peterson, I saw that.
Right. I think what my own judgment on it and the others feel the same way about this is that we should let him play this out for a couple of days and or even a week. And if he continues to pound it, then pick the right person to go forward and say, now, maybe even Kleindienst to go forward and say, now, wait a minute. This has just gone far enough. This is the worst kind of innuendo and smear, and either put up or shut up. I mean, I almost think we almost ought to let him overplay his hand. And
I think I'd let it go a week. I think maybe you're right. Rather than one or two days, because he's likely to. But people may just. You never know. People may tire of it a bit.
Well, I think that's quite a likely possibility. Plus the fact, I think, Mr. President, that he sounds desperate as hell. I saw him on TV last night.
You did?
On the evening news, yes, sir. And he looked desperate. He looked angered. He looked mean. Uh-huh. And we know from the polls that doesn't help him when he does that. In other words, the only thing he had ever going for him was this Mr. Clean, nice guy, honest, open fella. And when he gets in there and gets vicious, and remember what that Harris poll found, that only 11% of the American people thought you had anything to do with the Watergate. And when he charges that, and charges it in the mean way that he did yesterday, I don't know, I kind of have more confidence in the good judgment of the American people. I don't think they buy that. Plus the fact no institution in government, at least, has a higher reputation than the FBI. We made the point over and over that they conducted a thorough investigation. People think grand juries, they don't really think that a grand jury can be rigged. They consider a jury something independent,
right,
part of the court system. And he was directly asked, was he accusing us of fixing the grand jury? And he said, well, I wouldn't go that far. Now, that's pretty rough stuff. I think we ought to see how it plays out. I think he may try to keep this issue alive, and it could backfire on him. Could make him look more desperate, and it might give us an opportunity to really step on him hard.
Yeah.
If he does do this. And frankly, I'd rather hit him right now on the error that he made on the wage and price controls and food prices.
And stay off of this,
sure.
That's right. And also, next week, too, I understand, the following week, they start hitting him again on defense. He's laying off the big issue.
That's right. Ehrlichman and I met on this at some length yesterday, and really, no way it is on Meet the Press next Sunday. Doesn't get much viewership, of course, but it's a good news event. It's good news for him. And Mel is tough. And then if we can use the vice president and Conley, or however you want it done, but use our big guns that following week. I think there's a real advantage to having all of our people stick on one subject for a week. I think we'll get under this guy's skin in a hell of a...
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, you get down and have a good good. Okay. You see you tomorrow night. All right. Well, I think if everybody hits them for a week, well, first the press is bound to start to have to cover some of it too.
Yes, they will cover it. And it'll get to him, Mr. President. If you've noticed the way he has reacted very sharply when the surrogates have attacked him, I think the fellow's got a short fuse, and I think that
and if they attack him in a coordinated way, it may then finally getting him talking about that subject. Oh, might even needle him and say, why is he being so quiet about that subject?
Mm-hmm.
That might be a way to get him out of it.
Because
it's really true. He's not talking much about that. The wage price thing, though, I'd clobber the hell out of him on that. That is.
I think we'll just hit him. We'll have somebody hit him every day this week on that one. He really stepped into it. If you notice, even his relative, Rowan, took him over the coals today in the Post on that one.
He did,
Yes, sir. Maybe because Ehrlichman stuck it to him earlier this week, and he's decided he better do an anti-McGovern column. But I think editorially he will be creamed with this one. I think we can get Arthur Byrne, as you suggested, George Shultz is preparing to do it tomorrow.
Right.
Comes out of the session.
Just get everybody.
We'll get everybody every day.
Get some guys up in the Congress, but just message all the surrogates. Hit him on the wage price thing this week and just crack the hell out of him.
We got some good stuff out of him. Because he's very, very vulnerable in that.
And
I just love to see that Gallup poll come and juxtaposition of it today.
Yeah.
You know, one day after his is in the news, comes the Gallup poll showing that people 2-1 want him stronger.
Yeah.
We got quite a good play on the utility workers. I was very pleased.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Both nets last night, and they're both CBS and NBC carried it, or picked it up, and they didn't have film. And
that's good.
Papers carried it today. That's going to help us a little bit because Teddy Gleason is preparing to go on Wednesday, and then we have John Greiner this week, and we have this fellow Tonelli, so that we're going to start now some AFL-CIO unions, and maybe break a building trader through. This week, we hope. We've given them until Friday, Schultz and I have.
Yeah.
Kind of told them they got to get on or else. But we may have a week of some more union endorsements, which...
Well, if the building trades don't, we know they aren't going to hurt us. They're going to...
Oh, hell. Oh, they're all... They're privately with us. They just... You know, they're afraid to go to their boards and make an issue over
it. Right.
Well, shouldn't they, but...
I know, I understand, but we'll just keep...
We'll keep the heat on them. Because I'd kind of like to get them... But we got some other good ones now that...
What do you think Shriver's going to do about his financial statements? Think he's going to cover his wife as well as himself?
I think he's got a hell of a problem.
I hope everybody's getting set to do that, aren't they? And also, as Ehrlichman said, they ought to call on McGovern to update his.
Oh, yes. Plus, talk about a little bit about his... Well, we got to be a little careful on his trust because the vice president has one that...
Well, don't do that then. Don't do anything that's opening one of ours up.
Yeah, we can't. We cannot ask him to update it.
I think he should update it, though.
Yeah, but he can't disclose. We can't hit him on disclosing the trust.
That's right.
Well, Mr. President, on that, McGregor has a statement which he put out this afternoon, which will be out for tomorrow morning's newspapers, asking Shriver to do it. Shriver, as you may have noticed in the press today, said that he planned to do it this week. But, of course, I'm sure he will not include Eunice.
And McGregor said to include himself and wife?
That's right.
Or did he?
Oh, yes.
He hit it flatly. See, if you don't hit it flatly, they aren't going to get the point.
Oh, no. He's got it very, very straight out. Of course, the Kennedy kids all have trust, so I suspect that it'll show as a large sum of money, but it'll probably show in the form of a trust. But that's all right. We'll get get that Kennedy money out there.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you noticed Shriver. I just think he's having an incredibly bad time. I don't know whether you noticed the news summary picked up part of it, but where he walked up to the fellow on the assembly line, and Ted Groves, an auto player, a UAW worker, walked up and said, "Who are you for?" And Groves said, "I'm for Nixon." And then Shriver said, "Why?" And he said, "Because he's getting us out of Vietnam." And then they had this long colloquy, and Groves said, "McGovern's the last man I'd vote for." And then the next day, some of these people, this I think in Milwaukee was a VFW fellow who walked up and said to Shriver, you should be in Hanoi. That's where you and McGovern belong. Which was picked up on the wires yesterday afternoon. He's really, I think he's having a hell of a time as he goes around. He sure isn't getting a positive response, and he's running into these kind of things. But,
Well, they're going to learn that this business of running up and trying to have their little conversations with everybody when the press is standing there is just as dangerous as hell.
Well, you're inviting disaster because if the United Auto Workers, laboring fellow had said, I'm for you, so what? But if when he engages them in a debate like that and says, I'm for Nixon, and then it gets on TV, I mean, that's the story when somebody like that will take him on.
Yeah.
So they're crazy to do it, but I think it's more of an amateurish operation. I hate to say that because that begins to make us get a little bit less, we relax a little bit, but God, I think they're amateurish.
Well, we aren't going to be amateurish. We just continue to run our shop as if we're just tight as hell.
That's right. Oh, hell.
That's what we want to do and not give an inch. Apparently this program of going around and, canvassing got quite a good play, didn't it?
Got a splendid play on TV last night. I and good in the newspapers today.
That's a good thing to show activity on our part.
Oh yeah, and they had a CBS again last night. Did the same thing they did Wednesday night. They had a map with a little lights turning on, showing where all of our principal surrogates were yesterday, and it just covered the whole country, and it was very impressive. It was a good show and well done. And that is the kind of thing we need to stimulate our troops and the phone calls, Mrs. Nixon.
I suppose that they, do you think they're putting that, trying to build that surrogate thing into an issue?
Well, I hope so.
Huh?
I hope so.
Doesn't bother me a bit.
No, I think it helps us, Mr. President. What it says is, well, a hell of a lot of people are out campaigning for you, and that means that there's a lot of people that, that are supporting you, and there's a lot of support for you, and I think it's...
Sure.
No, I don't. The only negative to it is the possibility of the underdog sympathy reaction you get from a government, but this guy doesn't engender that.
He isn't getting that.
He's
not yet, do you think?
No, and I don't think he's going to, Mr. President.
You can't do it when you snarl. You've got to be sort of a good guy to be an underdog.
You've got to be put upon. You can't...
And he can't be whining all the time, and he's sort of complaining and petulant. An underdog, that isn't the way an underdog feels. An underdog is sort of got to be sort of a, good.
Well, or he's got to have...
Like Hubert.
Or he's got to have some very human qualities, like Harry Truman was just, another guy out there fighting.
He didn't snarl, he fought.
He fought, but he fought honestly.
Hubert Humphrey just went out and said, he smiled and laughed and said, oh, gee whiz, and laughed at himself. This fellow isn't laughing at himself at all.
No, not a bit. Not a bit. Did you notice, I don't know whether you had a chance to go through the Times today, but did you notice that piece by Apple in the Times on
No, I didn't.
Massachusetts?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my God. It really is. It's devastating coming from Apple. What he says is, he writes it from Boston, and he's done one of these walking the streets survey kind of things, and then interviews with local politicians, and he said right now the Commonwealth of Massachusetts would vote for Nixon. Nixon would win the state, and Democratic politicians acknowledge this. And then they start quoting Mike Harrington, who's a way left-wing liberal, but he just tears McGovern up. He says that the people aren't gaining any confidence in him because his campaign has been so confused. People can't find one reason to vote for him. They're looking for it, but they can't get it. The candidate has done a very bad job of dispelling people's fears. And then apparently Apple did a survey in an Irish section of Dorchester where McGovern had done quite well in the primary and found that out of, turned up 6 out of 15 McGovern voters, 6 out of 15 people who had voted for McGovern in the primary who said they now were going to vote for the president in the general election.
I'll be damned.
And then he goes out into Berkshire.
They voted for him in the primary.
They voted for him in the primary, and are now voting for you. I mean, that's a real
switch.
Oh, that's just an enormous turnaround. And then it talks about various parts of the state, which I know.
I wonder why Apple's reporting it.
I don't know. It's the damnedest thing I've ever seen, because I would have thought he
was a really hot for McGovern,
Oh God, he was. Well, I suspect, Mr. President, that he was sent up there by the New York Times to do a story on Massachusetts. They're
hoping to get
a story that would be a
plus
find it. And that's the same thing I'm told. Our people up there, or friends of mine up there, tell me that they can't find any McGovern support except in Harvard Square and among the, you know, the university faculties. But out among the folks, particularly in the blue-collar areas, Lynn and some of the Salem and the towns like that, there just isn't, there is no McGovern support. And then the Times also had a piece on the survey among the Catholics in the Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey area, and showing that, well, I guess it's, it's a Yankelovich poll, shows the shows you with a 24-point lead over McGovern among Roman Catholics nationally, but 35 points in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. That's just extraordinary. And that goes into a, an analysis of why and how your stand on abortion and aid to parochial schools has just swung the Catholic vote around in the three states. Of course, it's, as you well know, it's so damn important in those three states.
Yep.
But that's a hell of a survey.
Yeah.
You go through the Times. It's kind of interesting this morning. I went through it trying to find something positive to McGovern. The only thing that they had for him was an editorial on the Watergate. And and then a front page story on the Watergate. But beyond that, you cannot find anything in the even in the New York Times that really would be considered pro-McGovern.
Well, I'll tell you, we're not paying any attention to Times editorials.
Oh, hell no.
Post editorials. Hell, they're going to bang the hell out of us, and that's that.
Well, I think it's...
I'm going to let them dig their grave deep, because they're... And then they'll come after the election whimpering around saying, well, now it's all over, and let's have a new... A new relationship.
And, yeah, sure.
We're going to say, fine, fine, you just go seek it elsewhere. You've already chosen your friends.
It'll be newer, right?
They've got to, I really think, you know, the Times has been through this so often with so many candidates where they kick them and then have, and then they think they're so powerful that it won't matter. They don't realize that this is a different game now, because even we treated them reasonably well after the 1968 elections. We shouldn't, but we did. And they're not going to be treated that way anymore.
Well, that miserable job at the Times.
What?
The miserable job the Times did in 1968 was just inexcusable.
That's right, what they did on Agnew. Terrible.
God almighty.
But they're finished now. And they've had, we gave them 4 years to try, and they've finished, and they're as bad as they could be.
Well,
and, as a matter of fact, I think what you will find is that the reason Chase backed off of that story was that when... Clausen told Frankel. Frankel, of course, is basically, you know, an all-out McGovernite. And so Clausen, Frankel went to Chase and advised him to back off of it. That's what I hear.
Hmm.
You might pass that on to Clausen.
Yeah, I sure will.
To irritate him about Frankel. See, Frankel's a very slimy guy. Smart. He'll play it as if he's with us. But he got to Chase and told Chase, look, this is murder, and got Chase to back off the story.
That's an interesting point. I had reservations about talking to Frankel, and then Clausen said, well, Kissinger has dealt with him and gotten away with stuff, so...
Yeah, but not on a thing like this.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
They all stick together. But anyway...
I'm going over to Howard Smith's house for dinner tonight, and I thought I would raise the thing and see if I could get him interested in it.
Yeah.
But Ken Rush had a hell of a speech on it this week, and the damn press didn't pick it up.
Didn't pick up the thing, huh?
Did not pick it up.
And how about Connolly's speech? Was it picked up at all? Not really.
No, it wasn't. Well, it wasn't in the Sunday papers.
On the papers. Well, that's what all we would expect.
Yeah, but we put it out for the Sunday papers kind of thing, but they didn't pick it up.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
You put it out and they didn't pick it up because that was a hell of a good speech.
Yeah, this is a problem we are having. We're finding that we can get just so much out.
Yeah.
And, then they don't take any more than that, and it's tough.
Maybe the thing to do is to pick the guy that you want to get out. Well, no, I guess the thing to do is to just go for the best you can, but don't have a small story, kill a big one. That's the main thing. The Connolly story is so good. Now, I want that Connolly speech reprinted and broadly circulated to Mecca, you know, be in terms of, well, he will do it. He will do it.
No, we can, we will do that. It's a good
story. It's a marvelous story. It's a marvelous one for Democrats. It's a marvelous one for editorial writers, you know, who want to endorse.
Well, we can send it around. It's a
right.
In fact, I think that's a damn good one to do a major mailing. McGovern versus McGovern finally beginning to play. We've had a couple of columns pick it up now, and we did the cover of Monday, which is out for tomorrow, is a great cartoon of McGovern debating with McGovern, and then we have the virtually the whole magazine is devoted to one his different quotes.
That's the thing. You see, he may just start picking that up himself. But I want to be sure to get Connolly's stuff up front and center. And, oh, it will. I mean, if he's on, he'll be on national television twice next week, won't he, in 5 minutes?
Yes, sir. And I think that'll, I'm positive that will get picked up. That'll be a news story as well as a very good TV commercial. He is awfully good on television.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you've seen those two speeches, but...
Well, I know they're good.
They really are superb. And the spot heads are excellent also.
Yeah.
Some interesting fundraising reports in the Star today, at least, on McGovern. I called our people this morning and told them to get back to work now and study the rest of these filings, because, boy, there are some serious questions that get raised in the way in which those reports are filed.
Yeah.
And I was fascinated reading that he has had contributions and income since April 7th of $11.7 million.
Boy.
Now, you know, here he is talking about no money in the bank, which can't be true. And because it just doesn't add up. And we've only raised $9.3 million since April 7th. So the people would say that he doesn't have any money. But they can't find it all, as the Star points out. Some devastating stuff in here. I wish the Star were picked up by other newspapers, but it's... The McGovern operation abounds with mind-boggling conduits and minor committees that seem to multiply as fast as bacteria. The campaign set up 20 groups with local West Coast titles last month just to handle a single stock transfer worth $80,000 from Dr. Alexander Zaffaroni, which Jay Lowstone tells me is an absolute left-wing, way over commie type from Uruguay. And that goes on. It said the bookkeeping has bedraggled in the same absence of organization that has shadowed the candidate on the campaign trail.
Well, boy, this is something that somebody's really getting that together for us.
Well, I called this morning and I got my...
I would think that was... I thought Chotner was working on that. I don't know what if anything he's done.
Well, I think they are, Mr. President. They've been working on it all week. The difficulty is, it's precisely as the Star story tells it, that it's been coming in bits and pieces. He has 350 committees now that we've been able to find. He only had about a quarter of them filed. But as they're coming in, they're beginning to unravel a pattern here that is showing some very heavy money from certain places. And I think we're going to find, I think before much longer, as he starts filing this stuff, we're going to find one hell of a lot of very left-wing dough in here. I've tracked some down, which...
That's be good.
I gave to Neil Freeman on the middle of this week, which he's doing, putting some reporters to work on in Philadelphia, that is clearly a known communist who's been raising it for him. And he stopped there and visited with him when he was in Philadelphia this week. But this stuff that's now popping out in the Star, I just think as we start to trace this, we may find he's, that he's got a lot of money, a lot more than he's admitting, and B, that it's coming from... in large groups from very questionable sources. Of course, the guy who may take this on for us is Meany. He's giving a major speech this week in the West Coast to the steelworkers, which is...
It'd be good if we could get that to him.
Well, I've been working with Lowstone on this, and he's the one who says that this Uruguay...
The doctor.
Doctor from Uruguay said is a real commie, and... Meany apparently is quite hot over this and is going to hit the fundraising question obliquely, but he'll hit it directly if we can start getting some of it into his hands and verifying it. And of course he's going to hit him like hell on the apologist for the communist line. I think he'll make some network TV out of that when he speaks to the speeches this week, because his speech at the moment is a real nut cutter.
Good. As long as it's in that venue and not ours, that's good.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Well, Meany can...
He's taking him on, and we'll just stay right out of it.
That's right. Now, he's...
Well, we've... I think this week we'll just keep
keep it rolling about?
I'd say on that wage price thing, perhaps, is the best thing.
Yeah, I think that's a real opportunity, Mr. President, for us on that.
We don't want him to make too much progress this week. I don't see how he can make too much. I mean,
well, I surveyed all my people this morning on by telephone, just asking them what they thought, Clausen and Moore and others. Apparently, just on balance, watching the media all week and reading the press this weekend, and just sort of sitting back and looking at it, he may have picked up a little bit of enthusiasm in some of the places he went, but clearly did not get clearly didn't gain any national momentum. Clausen told me that he talked to
Your polls would indicate that too.
Oh, and the poll slightly indicates it.
Indicates it just about where it was.
Yeah, well, you've gained.
Gained a little, right?
You have gained every week, and he hasn't. And it's just been a steady strengthening of support for you. And Clausen said he talked to some people in Detroit after McGovern had been there. That, of course, Ken used to be a reporter there, and he said there was no pickup by McGovern forces at all. He said they all turned out. They had what was described to him as an anti-war rally. A lot of kids, and they all packed up their stuff and went back. And it was just as if the candidate had never been there. McGovern did not leave. There was no lasting impact. There was one day he went in, he had a big rally, a lot of shouting and screaming, and left, and that was it. And I don't detect anything, Mr. President, in the media or in what we hear from around the country or in the polls that the fellow is.
The anti-war rallies are fine with me. I just like to see him have particularly the kind of people that come out to them.
Well, that was the point. That it was, you know, that it
got to turn off some other people.
That's exactly right. That it just got him nothing, and and it was just dead in the sense that he had his splash as he came in and he left, and that was the ball game. We do have some other things we're going to be taking him on this week as the vice president starts out. He's got some pretty good lines on credibility. He's got some good stuff on the $1,000 that we'll be hitting him again on this week. And we want to hit some of the permissive stuff this week from some of our
We've got to keep that permissive stuff alive. In other words, keep reminding people of the marijuana and the amnesty, soft.
That's awfully.
That's really what sends them.
Yeah, it's awfully important.
And the people around him, that's another thing.
Yeah, we want
to. I mean, the fact, I think one real nut cutter should be the line, you know, that Rizzo uses, that after all, he's got, who are his supporters? Jerry Rubin and Abby Hoffman.
Abby Hoffman.
And Clark. And, you know, terrible people.
Randy
Clark. Jane Fonda. You know,
yep.
They're his supporters.
Yep, and Salinger, who doesn't...
Salinger.
Looks like a goddamn thief, even if he's...
Right.
No, he's... No question, this is one of the real, real vulnerabilities.
The people around him are not people that we want running this country.
That's right.
Well, anyway, we shall see. I'm going over to see the Italians now.
Good. Well, we'll keep the heat on, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. President.